Discover Milan, Italy with WSJ Magazine and Indigare. Join WSJ Magazine editors for behind-the-scenes access in Milan as you meet the city's most influential tastemakers, dine at top restaurants, visit the private villas of Lake Como, and much more. Book this once-in-a-lifetime trip at indigare.com/WSJ Magazine or call 646-780-8383.
With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Something peculiar turned up when a study was conducted to figure out how stock markets might respond to a cyber attack. And it has some stock market traders steaming mad. We'll explain in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. Economists were taken by surprise when December retail sales figures came out and showed a 1.2% drop from a month earlier. That's the largest drop since 2009. The Commerce Department report showed every major retail category, aside from motor vehicles and building materials, posted sales declines in December. The final month of the holiday season is key for the sector, especially for department stores, clothing outlets, and online sellers. The journal's Heard on the Street team says that initial credit card data indicates that sales may wind up having dipped again in January. But Heard on the Street says the government shutdown was in effect throughout much of January, while the Arctic air mass that sent temperatures plunging late in the month kept people indoors. And the Education Department's Inspector General says the government has failed to properly oversee companies that collect Americans' federal student loan payments, and that it is possibly contributing to a rise in defaults and driving up taxpayer costs. The journal's Josh Mitchell reports in recent years, advocates of borrowers have criticized the companies for not doing more to help borrowers in financial distress to reduce their monthly payments through options such as programs that set their monthly payments as a share of their incomes. That's also known as income-driven repayment. Congress has gotten involved trying to find a solution because millions of borrowers have defaulted on their loans in recent years. Also, the U.S. government is a major player in college loans. It's the country's biggest student loan provider, with roughly 43 million Americans owing a combined $1.44 trillion in federal student debt. A study funded by the U.S. government to better understand how U.S. markets might respond to a cyber attack turned up scenarios where trades on equity markets might not be executed at the best price available due to pricing discrepancies. Wall Street Journal investigative reporter Cesare Podkol is here to explain the significance of this. So, Cesare, the study revealed about a quarter of all trades in 2016 were executed at prices that weren't the best available in the market. And this is because of different prices of a stock across different exchanges?
Yeah, so the U.S. stock market is very fragmented. There are now 13 stock exchanges and dozens of off-exchange venues known as dark pools where orders may be executed. So most of the time, the market follows the law of one price in that there's just one best bid and one best offer for stocks sold across these markets. And that's called the national best bid or offer, which gets reported on a regulatory data feed called the Securities Information Processor. And that's the price at which your broker must seek to execute your trades to ensure you get the best price. But there are times when this national price can diverge from prices disclosed in proprietary data feeds that are sold by exchanges. And that was the focus of the study. The researchers found that about 3/4 of the trades they analyzed were executed during times when the best prices published on this regulatory data feed were in sync with the best prices available in exchanges. But about a quarter of them happened during a time when the exchange's data feeds showed a different, you know, often a better price. And that was what they drilled into, and they looked at, okay, what happened during that time, and did investors, you know, get the best price available at the time?
What exactly did they determine as the cause of these discrepancies across the exchanges?
So it's because you've got these two sources of information, the data feeds sold by exchanges and this regulatory data feed where the best prices are reported, and they may not always be in sync. So the best price that you see nationally may not necessarily be the best price that's reported at those exchanges. And what the researchers did is they looked at, okay, at the time of the trade, what were these feeds showing? And they showed that about a quarter of the time, you know, the trades are happening during a time when they were out of sync.
In your story, you highlight shares of Apple in January of 2016, where there was a difference of 6 cents per share across exchanges. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it can quickly add up considering how big trading blocks can be.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things that, you know, individually might be small, but over time could add up to large amounts. So, you know, in that case, we asked the researchers to give us some examples of what they looked at, and they pulled out one trade in Apple on January 7th, 2016, which was a day that they chose at random. And one trade sold 100 shares of Apple for $99.12. When this national best bid available in the market was $99.12, but direct feeds from exchanges show that 100 shares could have been sold elsewhere for $99.16. So on that particular transaction, the seller was $4 worse off for executing at that lower price. And, you know, just looking at that one particular day, they calculated a total opportunity cost of about $105,000. And then across all of 2016, they came to an estimate of about $2 billion, which they say is a conservative estimate.
There are some critics of the results of the study. They feel that the impact of the differences in the price might be overstated.
Yeah, this is a very hot topic of research. There's a lot of different papers and studies being done, all of which have various different methodologies. With regard to this one, you know, we talked with the Modern Markets Initiative, which represents high-frequency trading firms, and they felt that, you know, by the time someone sees a better price elsewhere, the opportunity to trade at that price may already be gone. So these, you know, in their view, it's sort of like, you know, comparing prices in the past that might be published in, you know, two newspapers, and it's they don't think it's really a valid way of doing it, but there's certainly others who think that, you know, there's a valid comparison to be made.
So if I go to, or if anybody goes to their E-Trade, their Scottrade's Charles Schwab account, and they want to buy a stock, that site will go to the best available price?
The broker has to seek to execute the trade at the best available price, unless you give them some kind of instruction otherwise.
Now, what's ironic here is that the feeling is that high-speed traders could take advantage of these discrepancies because of how quickly they trade. It's kind of ironic, given the fact that you mentioned that high-speed traders assisted the government in this study.
They didn't assist them in the study. So in 2017, the government had this effort to understand cybersecurity issues, and they reached out to a bunch of people in the market, including high-frequency trading firms, as part of that effort. Like, they have a large effort to understand, you know, vulnerabilities in the market, and as part of that, they funded this study. But the study, you know, it wasn't like Citadel and these firms were, you know, they actually disagree with the findings, so it's not something that they assisted in.
Although it still remains a fact that the feeling is that high-speed traders could benefit from this scenario of the differences in price.
Yeah, I mean that's usually the worry that gets expressed, is that if you have, you know, these discrepancies in prices, and especially if that's aided by you know, these proprietary data feeds that exchanges sell access to, is that someone could, you know, glean insights from that and sell ahead of, you know, slow investors who are trading off of information that might be slightly out of date.
Are there any efforts underway to try to stabilize or unify these data feeds so there isn't a discrepancy, or are we not there yet?
The exchanges, they all have a right to sell their own data feeds. There's nothing illegal about doing that. You know, these researchers didn't go ahead and buy a data feed from each of the exchanges. What they did was they relied on a consolidated version of it that was sold by that's put together by a company called Thesis Technologies. So there are places where you can buy it, but it's a very expensive exercise to get access to this data and be able to, you know, to work with it in a productive way. So that's why there's a bigger debate going on at the SEC about, you know, data feeds and oversight of that and how much exchanges charge for it. So this is certainly, all of these issues are very, you know, front and center in investors' mind these days, including best execution, which is a huge topic of debate and a huge issue that people are paying attention to more and more these days.
All right. It's a fascinating story. Check it out on WSJ.com and the WSJ app by Wall Street Journal reporter Cesare Podkol. He's here in our studio with us. Cesare, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.